What's up, everybody? Welcome to Above the Board with Josh
and Phil,
where we stay above the board with Josh and Phil.
Above the Board is recorded in front of a live streaming audience. Join us at twitch.tv Above the Board or find past episodes at abovetheboardpodcast.com.
Yeah, you know what, Phil? It's great to be back. It's been a long, another hiatus, but that's okay. I'm calling this the reboot of the soft reboot, because I think we already used the term soft reboot before. What's up, man? How you been?
Been doing good.
I miss doing this with you.
Me
really do.
Too. Let's hug.
Let's hug it out. Hug it out on camera for the viewers and then listeners. There was a lot of man love right there.
I'm sure the mic's like... That's the sound of a hug.
Yeah, it is. So how was your holidays, man? Did you have a good Christmas, good New Year?
Yeah,
very good. Pretty festive and full of activities. A lot of family time.
Just a lot of family time. I think that's what's good about it.
Yeah, man. We did our annual Florida trip. We missed it last year. We got to do it this year. And it was exhausting, but a lot of fun. Got to spend a lot of time with friends and family. Actually, Matt, one of my best friends, who I've been trying to get him to come down for the past 5 years or something, he finally made it down, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
He had to spend Christmas with us, which was, it was great. Now, yeah, it was a good trip, good holiday, good New Year. And as part of a new Year, I resolve, Philip, that we're going to get better at this whole podcasting thing. So, you know, in vein of like our traditional episodes, Philip, what in the world have you been geeking on lately?
Starfield, for sure.
Yeah? Are you like hook, line, and sinker in, man?
I really am. And it's so funny. Like, it's like, I like the Starfield Reddit because it's like a meme now.
Yeah.
Where people come in so mad.
Like the potato thing?
What?
Have you not seen the potato? Like, I think they patched it or whatever. But there was a thing where you could have so many items on screen at once or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And people were like filling their ships with potatoes.
Oh.
And like the physics of like them like rolling around each other and stuff was like out, like people were just blown away by it. But anyway,
so
sorry,
funny.
Go ahead.
No, I haven't. Collecting junk is not my thing, but I think that's kind of what makes this game great.
Yeah.
But before I dig into that, what cracks me up about Reddit is all these people are coming on talking about how much they hate the game, but the meme is they're like, I've played 400 hours of Starfield, and now I can definitively tell you it's not fun. And it's like, what have you been doing for 400 hours? That's not fun.
Yeah, what have you been doing?
Like, that's like 10 weeks of a full-time job.
That's insane.
And then I was like, that's... I can decide things are not fun way faster than that.
Yeah, usually within a couple hours.
Yeah.
Like less than 10 hours.
Yes, yes. Even a long-winded game or whatever, you're like, all right, I'm done.
I think I'm done here. Yeah. Yeah, no, yeah.
But, and so I think it's frankly because it's just like there's just so much and it's so open. And so it's like kind of like cheesy writing the follow the main quest lines or whatever. And I'm going to toss in a little spoiler here because I kind of was like, I've had a lot of fun with this. And I was like way off the main quest path just doing the stuff I find entertaining.
Yeah.
And I was like, maybe I'll put it down. And then I read the spoiler that the main story thread is like a multiverse one or whatever. So like when you finish the main story thread, you get to start New Game Plus.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about this.
Yeah. So it like resets the universe, but you carry all your skills over and all your powers.
Yeah.
And then there's like... alternate universes that could pop up, and so quest lines and things like change because of the multiverse rules or whatever.
Super cool though.
And I was like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so now I've like veered back into the main storyline, and there's like, it's like pretty interesting as a multiversal story, and so I'm like excited to get to the end of it and
nice.
Play it all again.
Well, for another 400 hours.
Yep.
But at least this time, you'll be like, I enjoyed it.
I know. That's like real talk. Like, you know how dad gaming goes. I think I've put 70 hours into this so far.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's impressive.
The most I've put into any game in a long time.
Yeah. And how long have you been playing it? About a month, maybe?
I mean, yeah, I got it. Maybe 2 months.
2 months?
Month and a half, yeah.
Because I think would it come out like in early or mid-September or something like that?
Yeah, it was, it was like November.
But no, that's still 70 hours in roughly 2 months, man. Yes. That's pretty good. That's solid. That's like, you know, a little over an hour a day for 2 months.
That really is. Why? That's why you don't do the math on these things.
No, that's good, though. I'm proud of you. As a fellow dad gamer, Like, you know how, just a quick side note, that's not what I'm geeking on, but a quick side note, you know how, like, end of year stuff, they're like, you know, Spotify or like Xbox or whatever will send you like the wrapped year in review things or whatever. So Sony and Microsoft sent out theirs, and I was like looking at them because I always find it interesting to see what game I played the most or whatever, like what my hours, how they divvied out. First off, I don't play a lot of PlayStation games apparently, but when I do, I play them for a way lot longer than I thought I did, you know? Like, each one is, like, upwards of 40 to 50 hours. Even, like, small, like, Spider-Man 2, for example.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge game, but it's not Starfield, you know? It's not, like, a massive multi-hundred-hour game. It's, like, at most, if you're 100%, I'd say dad gaming time frame, like, 70, 80 hours at most, maximum. Yeah. And I think I did it in 50 or 60. All the Sony games I played this past year, I played for a long time, like upwards of, like minimum 40 hours. And then the Microsoft ones, like I played triple the amount of games on Xbox, but each one, like it was like played for 2 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours.
I do, I would say, like if someone just asked me, I would say like the, you know, the first party titles for Sony are going to be better.
Yeah.
They got some great exclusives. But I was like, just pound for pound, if I was playing any video game, I prefer to play it on my Xbox.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, just the, say all that just to wrap it up, like the 2 years in reviews, I just thought it was interesting that I played more hours on Sony total, but more games on Xbox.
I bet that would be like true across people who own both.
Yeah, it could probably, yeah, because I mean, like you said, Sony does have a lot of first party exclusives that are kind of known to be these big story.
I need to tell you this hilarious story. I had this friend, and we were just like sitting around talking about video games.
Yeah.
And he was just talking about how great Spider-Man 2 is. Yeah. Like, he was just going on and on about what a good game it is and how it is, right?
Yeah.
Fair opinion.
Sure.
And then he's like, I really hope I get a PS5 for Christmas. How did you play Spider-Man 2? And he's like, oh, I've just been like watching it on YouTube. Like, how can you give me a review of a game you've literally never played?
That's hilarious. That's also kind of sad a little bit. Like, oh, I kind of feel bad. Like,
happy ending. He got a PlayStation for Christmas and is now playing it like a real person.
Very, like a true gamer. Not just one of those, I'm going to watch a streamer play it. I mean, he is right, though. Spider-Man 2 is awesome.
Yeah.
So super good.
It makes me want a PlayStation to play it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't know if I want a $600 to play one game.
But, caveat, you know me, man. I'm going to slip a whole little devil's advocate in there for you. You get Spider-Man 2, but you also need to get Spider-Man 1.
Yeah.
And Miles Morales, the standalone thing.
This is just like the price going up.
Yeah. But it's like, it's also like, don't worry about the price. You're like counterbalancing the price value for like the actual entertainment value. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Because like, if you're just spending $600 for one game, now you're spending $600 for multiple games that are worth it.
Well, to me, I feel like I might have at least one friend who would let me borrow their PlayStation to try it out.
You know what? That is true. That is true. That
but
is true.
I'll have to kick my Starfield addiction.
Yeah, you got to do that first.
It is, man. Those little side quests, they keep sucking me in.
Dude, yeah. So I've played probably 40 hours of it, maybe 50. Yeah. Just enough to kind of like, I think the most of the main mission I've done was like the first couple ones were really trying to find.
Yeah, they're like real dumb.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, I'll just explore. Who cares like about this main quest
very
line?
Very, like, almost like Mass Effect 1-y. Like, go to this planet and find this person, you know? And then it kind of blossoms from
then,
there.
Then, like, the later missions that get you towards, like, the New Game Plus, they're, like, real interesting. They're real good.
I love the exploration of Starfield. Like, more so than, in my opinion, and maybe I just like science fiction more than fantasy, but more so than Skyrim. Like, I like the whole, you go into a star system and you can fly around, like, a planet, like, an orbit or whatever, and, like, find areas where there's, like, an abandoned ship or something.
Yeah.
Or, like, and disable pirates.
Dude.
Board them, and, like, you can take them out, or you can, like, subdue them, essentially. Like, it's so cool.
There's so many cool things. Like, I found one that was just, like, this, like, abandoned star base.
That's awesome.
And I went in, and it turned out there was full of, like, pirate raiders. But so cool. They had damaged like the artificial gravity.
Oh yeah.
So like while you're exploring.
Oh dude, like, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Like every few seconds, like the gravity kicks on and off.
Yeah,
right?
And all the crates float around, and everyone's like flying by, shooting each other. It's so cool.
Yes, I know exactly.
And there's so many random things. I hit my first little like womp womp exploration thing because I found this like base and I get on it. And then there's like, it's like an alien like eating a dude and it's like, and comes after me. And the whole thing is like overrun by these like aliens and there's queens and stuff. I'm like, this is amazing. And then I clear it and then hop over to the next base next to it. Literally the same thing.
Oh.
All the enemies are in the same places. It was, I was like, that stinks. It's like one of the coolest encounters. And if I ran into it again later, I would be excited.
Yeah.
But to do it twice in a row, I was like.
It's very No Man's Sky.
Yeah. So. But they're putting a big patch out in February.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Going forward. So I assume what's going to happen to me over the course of 2024 is I'll, like, hit the new game plus, get a little ways into it, and chill out.
Yeah.
And then this patch will come in and be like, oh, now there's fast travel. And they hadn't said what it is, but, like, what if it's vehicles? I'm right back in there.
Yeah, dude.
And they got me for, like, another 40, 50 hours.
Like speeder bikes or something?
Oh, my gosh.
That would be insane.
Well, let me put the icing on the cake here, is I also got an Xbox Elite Series 2 controller.
Oh.
Which is way too much money for a controller, but it's Christmas.
Hey, it is Christmas.
And I really like it, because over Christmas break, I had some friend who's like, hey, do you have an Xbox? We're playing Halo. And I was like, yes, I'm in. I'm bringing it.
Nice.
And one of the dudes there was like, oh, I got this Elite Series 2 controller. And I was like, it's beautiful. Like, have you felt one? It's weighty. Perfect.
Yeah.
And but then I was just like choking because Starfield has Y as the jump button for who knows what reason. So I'm trying to play Halo and I keep like switching weapons instead of jumping.
Just messing everything
up. And I was like,
up.
Ugh. So then I'm like, oh, now I've got the Elite Series 2 controller and I like map the paddles to like the jump button and stuff.
Nice.
And so now I'm living in luxury.
I got a work buddy that has one of those. He let me hold it.
Yeah.
I haven't played anything with it, but I at least held it. I was like, ooh, this is like, you can bring somebody with this thing.
Oh, yeah. It's hefty.
Like, it's pretty sweet.
Makes you feel like you have something meaningful.
I do want to ask you one more question on Starfield before we move on.
Oh, yeah?
And I only ask because all these big open-ended RPGs, I just, for curiosity's sake, how are you playing your character, like, talent-wise? Like, the skills, you know?
I think it's one of the interesting things about this game is that any skill you have, the more you use it, the better it gets.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's all these different games that you could be playing, depending on what skill. Like, if you want to build bases and mine minerals and all that stuff.
Yeah.
You can't. I haven't done any of that. Like, science tree is, like, empty.
Yeah, dude. I'm basically Han Solo.
Like, that's, I picked,
sharpshooter and, like,
the rogue or whatever.
Yeah.
I would start with the pistols.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy shooting pistols, but then I, like, maxed it out. And you can't go further down the tree until you have, like, two skills learned. So when I took rifles, and so far I've found way better rifles than I had pistols. Sometimes. I got this monster pistol recently that's just, like, one-shotting people.
Nice.
And then I took the jetpack skill. That's why I've been jumping so much.
Nice.
Like, when you peek out, there's, like, a second jetpack skill. When you max it out, while you're in the air, you can hover while aiming, and time goes in slow motion.
Seems ridiculously really fun. OP, but also fun.
And whenever you boost, you set people on fire and knock them over.
That's hilarious. Like, if they're standing next to you?
Yeah.
That's so fun.
And then, like, it is, like, what I thought was, like, I was like, well, what do you do? So I get the skill where it's like, whenever you boost, you can knock people over. Then it's like, knock over 30 people if you want to get to level 2 of this skill.
Okay.
So I'm running towards people in battle. I'm like, just to make them fall over.
Yeah, just to max it out. That's so funny. That's awesome. So let's see. My turn? It's my turn?
Yeah.
Okay, so it is award season in the movies, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, they just had the Golden Globes, and we're getting ready to go into the Academy Awards and all that other stuff in the next couple months. So I've been trying to catch up on all my, you know, Oscar bait Academy or award bait movies.
Okay.
All right. You know? So I've watched Killers of the Flower Moon.
You put as much time as I played Starfield.
Dude, quick tangent. I love Martin Scorsese. I love old Marty, but I don't appreciate the fact that he puts way too much time for these movies. Yeah. It's almost 4 hours long.
I know.
No film. Nothing should be over, like, maximum, like, 3 hours, 10 minutes. you know?
Dude, and that's what I think be is like funny a, is I'm like, remember those really old, long movies when we were a kid? Like Apollo 13?
Yeah.
It's like an hour 50.
Yeah, dude.
And it like doesn't even crack 2 hours. And no. I'm like, what? Yeah. Are you serious? How is that not a four-hour movie?
Absolutely. You know what? There's another one, The Pianist. Did you ever see The Pianist?
Oh, no, I haven't.
With Adrian Brody?
No, I know what you're talking about.
I felt like that was like a five-hour movie, but it's it's 2 hours, at least 2 hours. But it still, it feels like it should have been a show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, in today's day and age, it would have been a limited series, you know, AMC Plus.
Oh, yeah.
Type show. But anyway, maybe an HBO Max.
Because they just can't make things shorter anymore.
No, man. For shows, okay, fine, whatever. Like, I'll eat up limited shows or, like, you know, 10-episode, one-season deals or whatever. That's fine. But, like, movies, like, come on. I just want to sit down and watch it within, ideally, like, an hour 30, hour 45. Like,
dude,
if it's, like, you know, quick, like, well done, you know?
Yes.
But if it's, like, an epic or a historical movie or a biopic or something like that, I understand it's going to be a little bit longer because there's a lot of stuff they're cramming into there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I haven't seen Oppenheimer yet.
Neither have I. And so, you know what? Somebody reminded me, since it's Oscar-worthy, it's going to come back to the theaters.
Ooh! So we have another shot.
Yes!
Yes!
Can make up for this grave error.
Horrible. I saw Barbie in theaters twice.
Dude, I know. Like,
but which is fine.
It is weighed on me. It's like as a Christopher Nolan fan.
Yes.
I just feel like I ruined my life by not seeing it in theater.
Dude, especially when I just like looked at the, I don't know the dates of this episode, but I looked at the winners of the Golden Globes last night. Like, it did really well. Like, it swept.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it got Best Picture for drama. He won for Best Director for drama. Nolan did. Cillian Murphy and Robert Downey Jr. both won.
Yeah.
So it's like, wow. Well, now I have to see it. Not that I was going not to see it.
Yeah.
I have to see it now. But anyway, so yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon, going back to that. Super long movie, man. And like, I understand the hype, like the Oscar or the award buzz hype about it.
Mm-hmm.
It is definitely like one of those, oh yeah, that's going to get some awards, you know. But I don't like it as much as other people do. And it's not just the length. Like, it's just,
because I've heard a lot of people who are like, it's real long, but they're like, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's good. And I don't agree with like a lot of the other gripes. Like I think the pacing's fine. I think the characters are fine. I think the acting is phenomenal.
There's just too much.
Yeah, it's just like a little bit too. I know this may sound kind of like weird for a Scorsese fan to say, but it's too Scorsese. You know, like it's just too. Did you watch The Irishman or whatever?
No.
With Robert De Niro.
I just like I struggled to find time to watch Oppenheimer. So
oh,
I just
haven't
seen any Scorsese films.
Yeah, Irishman's like another like almost 4 hour film.
I know. I was like, it seems really good.
It is fantastic. I also, after I watched the movie, read the book that it's based on.
The whole
So You Paint Houses thing. Because it's like what the code phrase was to figure out if you're a hitman.
Oh.
Back then. Or at least for that family that he dealt with. But anyway, besides the point. That movie is a very Scorsese film, just like Goodfellas stretched out, you know. And Killers of Flower Moon, like, it's just, it's interesting. And again, it's acted well and it's paced well, but it's just also, like, it's just, like, there's so many times where I was, like, kind of zoned out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And I think it was just too much of that, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of old school noir, but not in an interesting way.
Gotcha.
If that makes any sense. You know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of, like, drawn on a little bit. But so I saw that. I also recently watched Napoleon.
How was that?
It is,
because I almost saw it, but the reviews are kind of like meh.
Yeah, so. No, I liked it a lot. The battle scenes are amazing.
Oh, I didn't even think. I'm so dumb.
The battle scenes are incredible.
Incredible.
They're so good. Ridley Scott knows how to shoot.
Yeah. Epic like, war.
Yes. And I completely forgot how well he can do that until Napoleon. I was like, man. And I didn't even see it on the big screen. I just watched it at home or whatever. And I was like, man, this would have been amazing to see on a theater. I do understand the gripes about that one, where people are talking about how, like, there's a lot of leeway, I guess, with, like, Napoleon's story. Like, you know, his personal life. And, like, there's a lot of focus in the movie about his sex life with his wife, which is kind of weird. It's kind of weird to see Joaquin Phoenix in that kind of role.
I usually think of him doing that with a phone.
Yeah, exactly. Voiced by, wasn't it Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah.
I think you'd like Napoleon. It is definitely, like, so Killers of the Flower Moon is super Martin Scorsese. Napoleon is super Ridley Scott, but, like, Gladiator-type Ridley Scott. All right, yeah. You know what I mean? So there's another one I saw, Past Lives. It's a smaller budget film, and I don't know if it released in theaters here in the U.S. or not.
Okay.
But it just came on to streaming where you can rent it, and I watched it with one of my cousins, and it's really good. It's actually about these immigrants from South Korea, I believe, that came over to New York, and their separate families came over to New York, and they knew each other's kids, and then they didn't talk to each other for like 20-something years, and the movie's about them. It's basically a rom-com drama movie, but like I really enjoyed it. Like, it was really well done. It's not a foreign film, I don't think. It could be, yeah, like, marketed as such, because I really don't think it released in the U.S. Or if it did, it was, like, gotcha, a super limited release, like one of those.
Is it in English?
Yeah, it is in English.
Oh.
You know how a lot of these, like, indie films or, smaller budget films are, A24 films, you know?
Right,
like,
right.
Unless there's a lot of money behind them, they might get a limited release for a little bit, and then they come out streaming.
The fact that advertising budgets are such a big part of film costs, like, blows my mind.
Yeah. Marketing is insane for any film, regardless of what the studio is. But yeah, so I definitely recommend at least two of those three. And Killers of the Flower Moon, I would recommend if you have 4 hours to spare in one sitting. If you enjoy it, the one thing that I loved about it that, like, just made me super giddy as, like, a cinematic, you know, nerd was a Scorsese film with DiCaprio and De Niro in it together.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was great. That was awesome.
I just caught up on Loki.
Ooh! Did you watch all of season two?
Yeah.
Yes! So good. I'm so happy for you.
Some about Owen Wilson just, like, describing things that are obvious. So good to me. So yes. Funny. Like, I love Owen Wilson in it.
Yeah, Mobius. Loved
Ouroboros.
Yes.
The guy from Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yep.
He was great too. There's so much, like, I really enjoyed, like, the dialogue and the characters interacting.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like it relied a lot on some things from season one I just did not remember at all.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
But it filled it in fine. The funniest thing to me, though, was, I feel like I've talked to you about this before, where it's like, one of the things I don't like about these superhero movies is, like, the stakes are so high, they're unrelatable. And that's why I'm always like, I like teen dramas, because the stakes are super relatable. They're so low that it's exciting. Like, this one, to me, cracked me up, because the stakes, like, it was beyond the world ending. It was beyond the universe ending. It was all timelines ever ending.
Yeah.
And so they, like, had to, like, because those stakes are so it's like how people don't know the difference between $1 billion and $1 trillion. You know? Like, I know they're 1,000x apart.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine anything that a trillionaire would do that a billionaire wouldn't do.
You know? It's very true. It's very true.
And so I felt like they had to, like, keep reminding you every time. They're like, think of all those lives.
Yeah,
there's a lot of that. Like, they're destroying the timelines, all the lives. And I was like, they're just like a line on your TV screen. Like, yeah, how are, like, you this concerned about it?
Why are you freaking out? Yeah.
And they were, like, trying to give everyone a hard time. Like, you just don't think about all the lives. It's just like, who could?
And then, but then they do that one episode where they're like, oh yeah, you remember those lives we've been talking about all season? Well, we're going to show you a record shopkeeper that seems real nice.
Yeah.
And then we're going to watch him get ripped apart because his timeline ended.
Well, that's what I, like, and that's, like, makes, that's case and point.
Yeah.
I cared a lot about that guy because I had a moment with him.
And he had a sweet store. His store is awesome.
0% cared about every timeline that got destroyed.
Oh, man.
Because I'm a
ruthless
monster.
You're ruthless. You're he who remains.
Yeah. Dude, but that kind of finale where it was, like, cutting back to that final scene of season one where they were, like, talking with him again, that was really good.
So good.
I liked him figuring out his little time-hopping thing and all that stuff.
Yeah, and then his, like, ultimate destiny being, like, the timekeeper.
Yeah.
For all time, always.
I know.
So good.
That was a really cool ending.
I like and how it, he got his OG costume back, like when he was like walking out.
To, yeah, like, he's grab like, the, it's on. I'm doing it.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Like, and to me, have they announced a season 3 of Loki or anything?
No, I think it's done. I
really hope so.
I think it's done.
Because it was like,
it should be done.
I was like, what a good ending. And then my next thought was like, oh, it's Marvel. They're going to bring Loki back and undo all the good stuff that
I think he will be back. Loki as a character will be back in probably Secret Wars. Maybe.
Is that different than the Secret Invasion?
Huh? Yeah.
Oh.
So Secret Invasion was the one Marvel with the one with Skrull. Secret Wars is the, like, the end game, or it will be the end game to this saga. I think Loki will show up in, like, the Secret Wars. Like I said, it's the end game of the multiverse.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, I don't think they're going to undo anything. Like, I don't think he's going to, like, release the time things and, like, going to be, you know,
Zapping Thor or whatever.
Yeah, no. I think that he's literally,
I imagine they'd be in a scene and he'd be like holding the threads and be like, oh, hey, guys.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it is. They're going to go and talk to him and be like, yeah, I've dealt with Kang. I've dealt with his ramifications. This is what you need to look out for, but I have not a clue on how to beat him or what to do to stop him. I can't help you, though. I got to chill here in this giant tree that I built.
Yeah.
And hold these things together. So good luck, I guess, and I'll see you never, you know. Right. So I think that's pretty much what it'll be. But no, I loved it. It makes me, you know, not to like get on a downer, but it bums me out about the whole Jonathan Majors thing. Cause like he just has such a good.
I ignored it because I like don't like getting caught in celebrity drama. But then when it was over, I was like, what actually happened to Jonathan Majors? I was like, I hope he's not a bad guy. I want him to come back.
Yeah. And I think that's ultimately kind of what the case is. Just like a lot of unfortunate things happening. A lot of he said, she said. And I mean, mistakes are made on both sides, you know? We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I was like, I can't imagine I have a real opinion on that.
Yeah, but it sucks. And like a lot of people like, now
Disney
are like,
Disney straight dropped him.
Dude,
and he's gonna
with
spend
a quickness.
Like 2 years in jail or something, so.
Yeah, his career might be on pause for quite a while if it ever gets back on track. Because he's new and upcoming,
maybe
it's hard
he could
to,
like, get on a Chris Brown track and everyone will just welcome him right back into the fold.
Maybe in 20 years, he'll be the next Iron Man. You know?
Yeah.
He'll just be the next Robert Downey Jr. Everyone's like, you remember when this happened like 30 years ago?
I know, right? I saw that recently or whatever. They're like, don't you remember when he didn't have a shot at being in Hollywood ever again?
Yeah.
And then, now he's the biggest star.
Yeah. But yeah, no, there's these rumors. There's always Marvel rumors, Star Wars rumors, whatever, rumbling around. And I'm over most of them because it's like, until I see it, I don't believe it.
Yeah.
But the rumor currently is that Disney's looking at hiring Colman Domingo, who plays Victor in Fear the Walking Dead, the con man guy.
I like him a lot as an actor.
Yeah.
I think he's a great actor.
So they're wanting to bring him on as like an older Kang, like a Kang Prime.
Oh, okay, okay.
So one that's like 20, 30 years older than
I thought they would just let Don Cheadle do it.
Just confuse everybody. Like, hey guys, it's Kang.
They should go to a multiverse where Don Cheadle is just all the characters.
Every single character.
He's got like a wig. He's like, I'm Black Widow.
He's all like red hair. He's like shooting arrows. It's so good. That would be fantastic. I'd pay money in a theater to see that. Be like, can I see the Don Cheadle? Don't even give it the name. Like,
Don Cheadleverse?
It has like an actual name. You're like, I just want to see the Don Cheadle Marvel movie, please.
That's like, and everyone's like, back sure. In the day when I saw The Social Network, I was like, two for The Social Network. And that dude is like, you're literally the first person who used the title of the movie. And
everyone's like, the Facebook movie.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
That's how it'd be. Two for Don Cheadle.
Two for Don Cheadle, please. Don Cheadle kills Marvel. Deadpool kills Marvel. Why not Don Cheadle kills Marvel?
He's like real life Deadpool. Could you imagine if you're just hanging out with someone who broke the fourth wall all the time? But you'd be like, there's no fourth wall.
I'd be insanely annoyed constantly around them. I'd be like, I don't think I'd be your friend.
Josh didn't know it, but I was breaking the fourth wall.
So I gotta go. Anyway, okay, whose turn is it?
That was me with Loki.
Loki, okay.
What are you geeking on?
What am I geeking on? So for Christmas, I got Alan Wake 2, going back to video games.
Okay.
Did you ever play the first one? First Alan
Wake?
No. It is awesome.
It's set in this weird space where like I remembered all the hype building up to it.
Yeah.
And then it released to like a wah wah, like it was like real buggy or something. And then patched it, and then it's like a classic.
Yeah.
And I just like missed it.
Well, now.
And so, now everyone's like, Alan Wake 2 is the best game ever.
Yeah, well, I mean.
I mean, it's not a Sony original.
You know, it's not. But no, it's good. Well, it's better than good. It is great. It's awesome. The studio that does it, Remedy, they did Control a few years ago. I don't know if you remember hearing about that
one. I did. I heard about that. That seemed cool.
Yeah, that one's awesome. That's one of my favorite ones. They also did Quantum Break with the guy who played Iceman in the original X-Men movies.
Yes. That is such an old game.
Yeah.
That was another one where I followed. I was like, oh, genre bending.
Yeah. Time travel-y.
It's going to be the best game. Like, oh, man, I'm so glad I quit following video game hype train.
Yeah. You know, I'm basically at that point. I remember there was a time where you're like, I don't do physical copies anymore. I'm like, man, that's so weird. How can you not do it? And now I'm like, I can't own a physical copy of a game. I feel like a vagabond or something. Like
a plebe.
Yeah, so I have a disc. But, and then now it's like...
Indiana Jones, you're like...
And then a boulder chases me in my living room.
I'm like, oh, so much work just to play a video game.
I get hit with poison darts. But now I'm like hype trains because of like all the different... There's so much politics and everything in entertainment anymore. Like, it's not just entertainment for entertainment. It's like people are mad at this person. There's cancer culture. There's this, there's that, there's this. And I mean, I understand... that times change and things evolve. I get that. That's fine. Yeah. You know what I mean? But the hype trains for like games to follow it from like inception to, you know, being played. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Sometimes I wonder if it's like a teenager versus an adult thing, or is it just like you've been playing video games long enough, you now know their tricks or what it is.
I think
because the original Fable was one for me. Like, I like convince people not to buy PlayStations or whatever to get an Xbox because this game Fable was coming out.
Yeah.
And that Peter Molyneux hype was incredible. Like, I was like, bro, it has a hard drive. And so if you step on a baby tree, it will not be a full-grown tree 10 years later in the game. And all that stuff or whatever. And then it comes out and it's like, bad Zelda. And I was like...
Bad M-rated Zelda.
I was like, ugh. Fable 2 I really, really liked, but Fable 1 was the biggest sad trombone. I even saw an interview with Peter Molyneux where he was like, I'm never talking about any game I haven't released ever again. And you haven't heard him. You haven't heard from him since.
No, he learned. You know, he learned. He got over his own hype train, I guess.
I was going to say, like, I loved following him just because he was like, loves game design. I think he's a brilliant game designer.
Mm-hmm.
And just talking about game design, he's great to listen to. And so I'm like, sad. He's gone, really. But I get it.
Yeah, because you...
We ruined him.
You what?
We canceled him before it was cool.
It's like the same dude that Sean something or other, the head developer for No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Well, he got roasted alive, didn't he, when No Man's Sky came out? I've never seen someone get so much hatred.
I was like, I can't believe he stuck to his game.
Oh, boy, he did. He's still like, there, I think.
Like, I feel like a more believable end to that story is he's like working... at some
Walmart.
I know, right? I was going to say just like a database engineer somewhere, but yeah. He's like, I'm just going to stock shelves.
With his AirPods. Yeah. He doesn't even greet people. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me, please. Thank you.
You can't put me on the schedule for a greeter. I quit.
I'm not old enough. Don't you understand? I'm not old enough.
Just thought you were such a burn victim for all that online flaming.
We thought that you could handle it, but I guess not. Better get to those shelves, stock boy. But yeah, no, going back to Remedy and Alan Wake and all that. So Alan Wake 1 I loved because it was very Twin Peaks-esque, David Lynchian, you know, that kind of weird thriller horror element, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then Alan Wake 2 takes it to like a whole new level in a good way. Like, it just like elevates... Like, there's so... Alan Wake 2 is one of those games where, like, you hear all the hype about it, like, and it's won a ton of awards and all this stuff, and people are like, you know, game of the year. I understand all that, but it's, like, such a hard game to describe on paper or, like, in person, like, without you playing it.
Sure.
What is the game, you know?
Yeah.
Because, like, the best way I can do... Because my father-in-law watched me play the opening... I don't know, 45 minutes of it one day while we were on vacation. He was like, what's this game? And I was like, well, I don't know. Let's find out together. We'll go on this journey. Both got the crap scared out of us within the first 5 minutes, which is hilarious, by the way. Shout out to Dave. His scared screams are very funny.
Nice.
But the premise is that the main... So Alan Wake, in between the first and second game, he's trapped in an alternate, like, dark supernatural dimension.
Okay. All right.
And there's a serial killer in Alan Wake 2 that is, like, kind of like ties to like a cult kind of thing that are killing people are going missing in the woods, and then their bodies with like ritualistic weird things going on, dismemberment, carving, stuff like that.
Ugh.
And it's tied to this like pagan cult. All this taking place, by the way, in the Pacific Northwest.
Okay,
kind of like the mysterious, like,
all right, redwoods.
Yeah, so the game starts out as you as an FBI agent investigating these killings. Okay.
So not as Alan Wake?
No.
Okay.
You're in a brand new character that's never been referenced before in any Remedy game.
Okay.
Because what I'm getting to is really cool here. That's why I specifically state no Remedy game. They're building their whole...
Remedyverse?
Yeah. It's pretty sweet. Mm-hmm. You start out as her, and then eventually it becomes this, like, in tandem, like, Alan is in the one dimension, and there's mechanics that are pertaining only to him and, like, what he's going through.
Yeah.
And then you're playing as this FBI character where it's very Resident Evil type gameplay. So the stuff in Alan Wake is very, like, it jumps back and forth. Like, some of it might be, like, kind of a little Alan Wake, but a lot of it, some of it's, like, I don't know if you've heard of Outlast. It's a horror series where you have to, like, run and hide from things that can kill you. Some of it's like that. There's a sequence where you're, like, in a TV show, like a game show that's in his mind.
Whoa.
It's crazy,
that
man.
Sounds really good.
It's awesome, but it's so hard to describe in paper without doing it proper justice, I should say.
Sure.
You know what I mean? The Resident Evil feel of, like, the FBI stuff when you're playing as her is great. You know, the mechanics. So the big mechanic of Alan Wake 1 for the combat purpose is that you shine a light on the bad guys because they're covered in this, like, icky darkness stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the light burns the darkness off, and then you can do damage to them. That carries over, but they've obviously elevated it for the sequel. And I don't want to, if you ever do play it, I don't want to spoil, like, a lot of the new stuff that they do for it. But it's kind of a cool concept there. But anyway, so yeah, Alan Wake 2, super cool. Super hard to, like, tell you what it is without you watching it or playing it yourself. You know what I mean?
I'll play it by watching it on YouTube.
Yeah, please do. And then get back with me and be like, did you get to this part yet? No, don't spoil it. Play it like a human. How about you, Phil? Anything else you're geeking on?
I think my last one, I'm going to geek on something for you.
Ooh.
Wormspan. Have you seen this?
Wormspan?
Like WYRM, like a fantasy dragon.
Okay.
A worm. Okay. Wormspan. It's a new wingspan based on dragons.
Oh, what?
Yes.
Is this a board game?
Yes.
Oh.
The people who made Wingspan making.
No way.
Yes, Wormspan.
Dude.
It's you excavate caves so you can lay your dragon eggs.
You know the feeling you're getting ready to go down a roller coaster?
Yeah.
And you're super hype? Dude, that's me right now. I'm about to start screaming. Emily's going to be like, what is happening to me?
Dude, I know. I'm so pumped. I was like, I'm surprised you haven't heard it. I'm so pumped because I was also like telling somebody, I was like, Wingspan is a really good game. But something about being a bird enthusiastic doesn't do it for me. I was actually telling Luke, and he's like, I'm a bird enthusiast. I'm like, aha, Luke, ah! And he's like, pulls out his phone. He's got an app for listening to bird sounds.
He's laughing now.
He's like, I've been trying to find a crested grackle. It should be around here this time of year. So I was like, oh, that's cool. I love hearing people who are excited about a specific topic. But I was just like, oh, okay, there are bird enthusiasts, but I'm a dragon enthusiast.
Dude, that's awesome. So it's the same team?
Yeah, same designer. Like, same kind of, like, you're going to lay out dragons and trigger them on their lanes and everything.
Dude, I'm so hyped.
Yeah. And I think there's, like, a new mechanic about excavating space to lay dragon eggs or whatever, but...
Is this coming out this year?
Yeah. No, I bet it debuts at Gen Con.
I bet it does. Can't wait. Cannot wait. Dude, I'm looking this up the instant I'm, like... I'm driving home and be like,
dude, I know. It's just like a press release, you know, and like half a screenshot of the board with an egg on it, you know, and I'm like, I want to see more. Dude, I'm ready for this.
It's so funny because when you explain.
That was some awesome geeking. We hit some technical difficulties, so you missed us talking about Monarch, Legacy of Monsters, and For All Mankind Season 4. Then we were about to play Cartographers, but that whole episode got lost too. Super fun game though. We got to draw maps. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll record something properly soon. You made it to the end of the podcast. Thanks for listening. Make sure to review, subscribe, like, heart, thumbs up, star, or whatever your listening platform lets you do to say we're something a human could listen to. You can message us on Twitter, Facebook, or anchor.fm with all complaints and corrections. All the links you need are on abovetheboardpodcast.com. Stay above the board.
With Josh
and Phil.